In Legal Talk today, we want to talk about the right to education and whether that right extends to foreigners who are living in South Africa, both legally and illegally. The discussion was prompted by a listener query which reached us a week or so ago, and I want to share that email with you in full just to set the context for the conversation. The listener wrote to say the following. Our current nanny slash au pair is from Zimbabwe and has been working for us for the past 4 years. She's been in the country on a visitor's visa for about 12 years now, so we know technically she's not supposed to be working. We've applied for her son for grade R next year at a WCED primary school, but the school says it cannot accept his application without the work permit of at least one parent. And in this case, there are no work permits to be had as both parents are working cash in hand. We're wanting to sponsor her work permit so her son can be schooled in South Africa. But the one visa agency I called says the only option is to obtain a critical skills visa, which she doesn't qualify for as she has no university degree or special skills. We've also looked into the option of applying for a study permit for her son, who's only 5 years old. But he would have to be out of the country to apply, and it may take at least 6 months, which would delay his schooling. All we would like is for her son to go to a good school. Is it legal for the school to refuse his application? So that's the conundrum that was posed to us by a listener who was asked to remain anonymous. And to help us understand the issues and the policies which are at play here, we've invited both the Western Cape Education Department and the Equal Education Law Centre to join us on the show today. From WCED, we have spokesperson Brona Hammond. And from Equal Education, we welcome attorney Philisande Mkuzo. I'm going to start with you, Philisande. Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Afternoon, Pipa. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
We know the right to a basic education is guaranteed in the Constitution, but does that apply to anyone who is living in South Africa or only to those who are actually South African citizens?
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of Section 29 of the Constitution, it blatantly says everyone has a right to basic education. This means that the right to education extends to everyone within the boundaries of South Africa, and as such, nationality and immigration status become immaterial.
Okay, so that's absolutely emphatic. And to add to that, Philisande, we've actually had court precedent that has ruled on this quite recently. It was, I think, late 2019 that the Eastern Cape High Court handed down a ruling in Mkanda on exactly this issue.
Absolutely. This is the Phakamisa judgment. And in the Phakamisa judgment, they emphasize the very same thing, that everyone has a right to basic education and immigration should not be even considered as a hindrance to admitting a child. And it also emphasizes that in terms of the Immigration Act, it does not prohibit foreign children being accepted into schools.
Even if those are children of people who are in this country illegally?
Absolutely. I think people need to understand the use of the word illegal, right? The minute we use illegal, it diminishes the person's human rights and their legal rights within the system that we're in, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's irrelevant whether a person is illegally here or legally here, that child has every right to be in a school and admitted as such.
Okay, so in the case of the listener who contacted us, here is a child who's the person who sent that email acknowledges that the parent is not working in strictly legal circumstances, and as a result, they don't have a work permit. Neither does that child have a South African birth certificate to supply. But even so, regardless of those factors, that 5-year-old child should be allowed to apply for school as would any other 5-year-old.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't think it's fair for us to punish children for the circumstances in which they find themselves or their parents find themselves. In terms of the judgment that we referred to earlier and the current national circular, the point or the standpoint is that where a learner cannot provide an official birth certificate, right?
Yeah.
What the principal needs to do is to direct... needs to accept alternative proof of identity, such as an affidavit or a sworn statement deposed to by the parent or caregiver or the guardian of the learner.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Now, that case that we referenced was heard in the Eastern Cape, and I know the judgment spoke specifically to Eastern Cape schools, but Philisande, does that precedent apply to the rest of the country as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. While the case was heard under facts that were in the Eastern Cape in Grahamstown, it then was applied nationally. Hence, we've got a national circular policy that speaks to this. So it is binding on all provinces and not only the Eastern Cape.
Okay. Phelisande, please stay with us on the line. That was Phelisande Mkhuzo, an attorney at the Equal Education Law Center, and I'm sure we'll bring her back into the conversation again. At this point, though, I want to bring in our own Western Cape Education Department spokesperson, Brona Hammond. Welcome to the show. Always great to have you with us.
Hi, Pepe, and good afternoon to your listeners.
So, Phelisande has just told us that, it's pretty clear cut in terms of the law, mm-hmm. and we have court precedent here. What is the policy of the Western Cape Education Department around applications by foreign mm-hmm. nationals who are applying to government schools?
Yes, and Phelisande was quite correct in what she said. You know, obviously we need identification of children. You know, we need something to identify them with. And it becomes very difficult if the child has no birth certificate. It doesn't even prove that they are a foreign national or South African national. They've got no identification whatsoever, which is a very sad case. So that an affidavit would suffice. And that's what we are telling schools, that if a parent hasn't got the study permit, which is required generally for schools, then or an ID number, then they can get an affidavit. And we have communicated that quite widely when we were talking about our admission system and process to all our principals.
Yes.
This was made very, very clear. So I haven't been able to locate the name of the school. You know, it was an anonymous caller. But if we do know the name, then we'll certainly follow up the school. But I have to say, Pippa, there's a bit of fear from schools, because back in the day there were principals that were fined for actually admitting learners that did not have the required documentation. And I think that's where the fear comes in. But it hasn't happened, that to my knowledge, in the last few years. But I think even with the COVID pandemic, it's just become even harder for even parents, both South African and foreign nationals, to get study permits or ID numbers or anything because of the pandemic and the closure of home affairs at certain periods. So I think it's been quite a trial all round. And so we've basically told schools to just please relax it, because of not only the court judgments that you refer to, but also because of the fact that they haven't had access. And that's for South African nationals as well.
Absolutely. It was going to be something I asked you about, the practicalities of the year and a bit that we've just endured, where it was so difficult and it remains so difficult to get hold of documentation. It makes a lot of sense that a plan B be accepted. So, okay. I mean, we will go back to the parent who sent us that complaint and ask if they wish to let you know which school it was. Obviously, we can't force them to do that. Brona, but in such a case, would you then go back to that principal and remind them of what the law requires of them here? How would you handle such a situation?
Oh, yes, certainly. It just would involve a discussion with the circuit manager in terms of what is required, and so that they don't do this again. You know, I don't know what the circumstances is in this particular cases, but certainly we've had schools that have contacted us and said, look, I've got a child here, they don't have the documents. You know, what do I do? And then, you know, we've just had an admission process now, and I myself have an undocumented colleague that works for me, and her daughter, and I managed to get her onto the system, and she has been accepted into the school, and she had no documents, no ID number, so it required an affidavit in that case. So schools are aware and they know what is required of them, but if there is a school that isn't aware, then we do need to engage with them. And we're also engaging with Home Affairs. We actually had a meeting with them, I think it was Thursday last week. We've been engaging with them for quite a few years to actually get processes up and running that makes it easier for foreigners to apply, and even children that need ID numbers to apply. But the process is much quicker than it is currently, because it has been a challenge for years, even before COVID-19, and now we have got it's even greater now, which is quite unfortunate.
Yeah. Brona, thanks. Please stay on the line. I'm going to go back to Phelisande Mkhuzo, attorney at the Equal Education Law Center. Phelisande, that's encouraging. Brona saying absolutely everything you've said to us is correct, and that is the messaging that has gone out to schools, that this is the path that they should follow. Just anecdotally, from what you see in terms of the complaints and cases that are brought to you at Equal Education Law Center, is the message getting through loudly and clearly?
Yes and no, Pippa. I mean, it was quite strife in 2019. The numbers did reduce after the Phakamisa judgment, but we still notice in our walking clinic that we do have cases where schools are refusing learners on the basis of being undocumented. And this is not just only in the Western Cape, but Gauteng as well, notably. So it is, I think, it's
I don't know how to really explain it. But the cases are there. They're not as high as they used to be, but they definitely are there.
Okay. And as Bone has referenced, of course, this doesn't only affect children of foreigners living in South Africa. The absence or the lack of ID documents is something that many South African citizens experience as well.
Yes, definitely. I think hence I am very hesitant sometimes of referring to illegal immigrants when we talk to undocumented learners, because it does in fact include South African children who are born in South Africa, who have South African parents, but who do not have documentation.
Okay. Penny has just messaged us saying she knows of somebody who's in a very similar predicament, a parent from the DRC battling to get a work permit. His kids are in school, but he can't get hold of a work permit, even though he is employed, not with critical skills. Okay. It's a little bit of a sidebar question. Is there anything he can do? I don't know if you want to comment. It might be a little bit outside of your specific area of expertise, Pilisande, but any response to that?
Definitely out of my expertise, but I would say that they should try to go to Home Affairs and see what processes are available in that regard. But in so far as the children are involved, the children are at school and they cannot be taken out of the school because they do not have the documentation.
Okay, so that's absolutely, and thank goodness they are at least in school, which tells me that the system is working in their case. Pilisande Mkhuza, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Attorney at Equal Education Law Center, we really appreciate your time.
It's been a pleasure.
Brona Hammond, let me give you the last word here. So thank you. It's great to hear both of you singing off the same hymn sheet, as it were, that the policy is clear. The policy has been communicated to schools, and maybe we do need to, as you say, it's interesting, overcome fear. I would imagine many parents are fearful of the process of writing out an affidavit if they're in a legally questionable position themselves. Just any sort of words of encouragement to a parent who is grappling with this issue?
Well, Minister Motsoaledi of Home Affairs has himself said publicly in the media that every child has the right to go to education. So the law is there and it's come out of, you know, the mouth of the minister. So I really do think that people understand the fear and anxiety they have because of their own situation. But yes, certainly the child shouldn't be prejudiced. And if there is a case that anyone is experiencing out there that's listening, then to please contact our district office and we will assist. But, you know, the priority is to place the child, obviously, and it can be as easy as getting an affidavit. But it is our part and role to play is to assist as well as to communicate effectively to our principals regarding this.
Okay, before I let you go, Brona, I can't not ask how the current application system is going. I know we're in the window period where offers have been made, and you, I'm sure, want to take the moment to encourage parents to make a decision and respond to those offers quite quickly.
Yeah, no, it's quite interesting. Last week, Pippa, we found out that there's over 20,000 parents out there that were lucky enough to get acceptance letters from two or three schools or more schools. And those parents, therefore, have a choice to make. And so that frees up 20,000 places at least, you know, if that's for parents that haven't got into school. So we really are trying to get parents as far as possible to do so immediately, to confirm and decline the places so that we can assist those parents that are waiting eagerly and are very stressed at the moment. But so just the fact that there are those 20,000 in holding, it gives us a bit of hope that, you know, for the parents that have called in and are very anxious right now.
Absolutely, because for the 20,000, you've got two or three offers. It's a case of choosing the one you want, but there are other parents who haven't got any offers who are desperate to get a place anyway. So, Brona, remind us, when's the deadline for declining or accepting offers from schools?
The deadline is the 25th of June. So when that deadline happens, if you haven't accepted or declined a school, we will automatically put the preference in terms of your list that you did it online. So school A will be chosen over school C, let's say, if you got into that. So it really is that is automatically going to happen. But really, so if you really want to make a choice and you've changed your mind, I suggest you do so immediately. Otherwise, it will automatically make that choice for you.
Brona, thanks so much for joining us. Brona Hammond, spokesperson for the Western Cape Education Department. And yeah, having read the absolutely fraught, anxious messages from so many parents who are in that terrible waiting period of not having an offer anywhere just yet, please, my plea to be would be, if you are one of those people who was lucky enough to get multiple acceptances, don't just wait for the deadline to do it for you automatically. Please respond sooner rather than later so that you can alleviate that anxiety for another parent who might be able to take up the place that you are going to decline. So if you're in a position to respond sooner, please do that and just take the anxiety off the shoulders of another parent out there who is waiting and biting their fingernails, wondering whether there is a place for their child.